Here we go. Can you handle the truth about Jesus? Okay, we have a fine young lady here who is going to tell us all about Jesus, and I might have a few things to say as well. So I'm going to introduce Brandon Lynette in from her Facebook introduction, which is going to answer a lot of questions on where she stands. And just so everybody gets this, I agree with every one of them. Okay, so there's not going to be a lot of confrontation or conflict in our message today. So here is what we need to know about Brandon. The world is being run by pedophiles, Satan-worshipping murderers, or demons. She doesn't trust the government, doesn't trust the media, doesn't trust Big Pharma, and she is an anti-vaxxer 100%. Abortion is murder. Modern Christians are soft and complicit. There are two genders. The laws matter more than your feelings, and God is real, and the Bible is the guidebook to life. So that's a mouthful. That is about 20 podcasts right there. So we're just going to talk about Jesus today, and church and the Christianity, and they all aren't the same,
No.
because as we know, as you look around, there's so much conflict and dissension in Christianity right now. Instead of everyone getting together and bonding and forming a united front, they always are nitpicking, and it's brutal. And I was in a I'm in a men's group on Monday night, and we were chatting about the rapture, and the rapture, I don't know if you know this, the rapture was created in the 1860s by a guy. He just made this up, okay? And now all of a sudden, and our pastor, who happened to be leading that night, he said, "I just want you to know that there's some churches down the street here that believe in the rapture, and I know these guys, and they're good guys, and they believe that Jesus is their Lord, and I believe they're going to be saved. On this particular thing, we don't necessarily agree on, but I don't, realize he's human, and he's not judging them. But he said, in my opinion, they're going to heaven, if they truly believe that Jesus is their savior. But what happens is when some of the people in these congregations get too nitpicky, then they say, oh, those are bad people. They're all going to hell, right? So my first question is kind of a, is a, is not kind of, it is a personal question. And that is, what does this actually mean to follow Jesus? And how did this come about for you? And when did it happen?
Okay, so when I was little, I had a granny that would take us to church when we were little. Like, my parents never joined us, but she used to take me. And that it was kind of a core memory. So I always knew about God. I knew about, the Father and the Son. I knew this. It was a Baptist church. So I guess the seed has always been planted in me. And then a lot of things in my life kind of went off the rails. My mom signed her rights off of me when I was 12, and I actually became a ward of the state. At 15 years old, I emancipated as a ward of the state and just kind of took on the world myself. Like, little Brandon at 15 years old, a baby, a child running around the world making adult decisions, paying rent, working a job. And praying was like something I did, I feel like, out of desperation. I don't think at the core of who I was in my heart that I really thought he loved me or thought he had my back. Like, why would he have set me up like that? Right. It's funny. One of the key things my mom used to say when I was a kid is, I love you, but I don't like you. And so I took that on. Like, nobody likes me. People love me, but I just started to become who I thought other people wanted me to be, so I could be liked and I could be accepted. And just through all of that, I mean, my life story would take us probably 6 months to talk about every day on the show to figure it out. But the seed was planted, and I had to learn responsibility really, really fast. And I kept creating this daydream in my head that one day someone was going to save me. Like, something was going to happen and my life was going to be easier. I would meet this guy who would just complete my life, and we'd have kids, and it would be, just complete fantasy. I did really love to read fiction, and I feel like that played a huge part in my life. But there was a point that I had to realize, and it hasn't been that long ago, you guys. I'll be 46 this month, actually, and I think it's the realization that no one was coming to save me happened late in my 30s, where I was like, ooh, I have to take responsibility for my choices, and I've made a lot of mistakes, and now I can't fix any of that. I have to go forward. And that's when I was like, all right, God, let's do this. And so I really tried to start just turning things around. I actually burned down a coaching business, my entire business, my platform, my everything, because I went way off my rocker, in all the woo stuff. I got caught up in woo bullshit, like tarot cards. I was doing Reiki. Like, I literally got gifted Reiki, and I studied and focused on speaking to spirits. And I thought, because I would pray to God, I would say, God, I don't even want to repeat the prayer because it still makes me feel like I'm not inviting that in. But I would ask God to send these people. I would like be talking to demons, but I
Sure.
didn't realize they're demons. Okay. Doing like the meditation to where I'd release the DMT in my brain and I would hallucinate and I would think I'm with God and there's love and just very scary things. And one day, I'm with a client doing a Reiki session and I've got spirits there. And I cannot put into words what I felt, but I'm staring at the screen and I'm just like in my head, I'm like, oh my God, I'm dying. Like, I just kind of disconnect. Like, it was insane. I walked away from the session. I went outside and I'm like, out into the living room. I'm like, honey, call 911. I think I'm dying. And he's looking at me because I'm breathing. I'm standing there in front of him and he's like, what is it? And I'm like, I don't know, but something is very, very wrong. And he's like, I think you're okay. Like, get in a cold shower. And just kind of, decompress because you're breathing, everything's fine. I think, how do we rein this in? I'm in a cold shower and I've heard God's voice my whole life. There's been this little whisper of like, there's more, there's more, there's more. And when I'm there, he's like, you're done. Shut it all down. This isn't me. This isn't me. I'm not the one that's with you. This is all done. And so that was it. I came downstairs and I'm like, it's over. I was making stupid money doing this. And I'm like,
Really?
it's all done. I have to stop this. Immediately pulled all my sessions. And I wouldn't say that I was like heart connected to God at that point. I just have always heard him, and I've always known he's played a part in my life. Like, I was already at the point where everything my mom did, I was so thankful. Like, I see what God did for me. I see what God did for me. I've seen the beauty in everything he's ever done in my kids, in the fact that no matter what has happened to me, I'm the kind of person that's going to wake up and I know I get to choose happiness or I can feel sorry for myself. I could be a
Right.
victim or I could be a conqueror. So, like, I've always just known. But what really happened, and it's been 2 years now, 2 years ago, I went to watch my daughter's best friend get baptized. And we were leaving, and I saw a little pamphlet with the Bible reading schedule on it. And I'm like, this is fabulous. For like a year, I'm going to try it. And so I take this home and I read the Bible for a year. And I want to tell you guys, because I do think part of being close to Christ, and I'm taking the long way to get there, I think part of being close to Christ is absolutely reading the word. I think that is vital because, it's changed everything for me, but not in the first year. And this is what I want to make really clear. That first year, it felt robotic. It felt like I was just reading words. I was like disconnected, just kind of zoning out. Like, I know he's real. I know he loves us and words, And so
Right.
I stuck with it. I stuck with it. I stayed disciplined. The second year, January 1st, when I started my second year, I read that first entry. I'm going to cry. Whew.
That's okay.
Everything changed. I
Yep.
felt it. I felt every word. I'm like, this book is alive. Like, it's alive. And the words just like wrapped me up and consumed me and everything in my life. I'm like, wow, I have waited my whole life for this. Like, that is the becoming moment.
Right.
And so I continued reading it. I just started my third year on January 1st, and it's still every single day, I'm just like in awe. I'm in awe of how much he's done for us. I'm in awe of everything that he orchestrated in my life to work out for me, which I've already known, but once you heart connect with him, like it just makes everything so vibrant. I see the world different. I feel different. There is a shift in like my confidence and how I show up. Like, you know, one of the things that I think is really beautiful in my life is the fact that I grew up hearing, I love you, but I don't like you, because it prepared me. It prepared me to be a person who can come here today and say, I don't care if you don't like me. Like, I love you and I'm gonna tell you the truth. I don't need people to like me. I've grown up my whole life without people liking me. God prepared me. Everything that I thought was destroying me, or I thought was hurting me, or that broke my heart and made me feel devastated in that moment, was my refining fire to be who I am today. And now there's not going to be a day that goes by that I'm not going to say out loud, like, God is real. Jesus loves you. Get into his word. So I took the long way. Did I answer your question?
Yes, and I know you could go into a little more detail. I just want to make an observation for our listeners, is that one of the unique aspects of your statement just now is that you have looked at your what many people would say devastating things happen in your life, right? The 12-year-old thing with your mom, the 15-year-old emancipation, and the majority of people look at those and they self-sabotage themselves and they're done, literally for the rest of their lives. And you have approached this from an attitude or a mindset, maybe is a better way to put it, that God put these there for me to realize how much I should appreciate him. And you know, I go through this with these guys that I speak with regularly. I looked at him one night and I said, you know, last week here it was 27 below zero, right? I said, you know how lucky we are that we all get to go home and we can have our house as warm as we want it? And they looked at me like I was talking in Klingon. Like, what are you talking about? You know, it's heat. No, it's not just heat. It's heat. We have heat. We have water. We have clean water. We have all the good food we can want, right? And you know, I've had traumatic things happen in my life as well. And as I look back, and people say, "Is there anything you regret about what you've done in your life?" You know, and you've got like this deathbed thing, maybe. And I say, "Absolutely not. I wouldn't change a thing, because it has now made me who I am, and it has allowed me to grow as a Christian, as a husband, and a father, and a grandfather." And your testimonial there is just proof of that. And so it was, well, yeah, you know, I've got a lot more intriguing questions for this next one. You're going to like a lot. It's kind of two-pronged. So I'm gonna add them together because they kind of go together.
You're cutting
And
out a little bit on me.
yeah, I know. My internet seems to be, well,
Oh,
I'm
you
good. We're
sound
just,
great. You sound great.
maybe I got to stop moving.
Okay.
Can't talk without moving, but that, oh, I'll do my best. How's that? Okay. So I'm going to, they're two kind of long ones, but we're going to put them together and then you can comment and then we'll kind of chat about it. What do you think about people that misunderstand? What do you think people misunderstand most about Jesus or Christianity? And then to coincide with that, then if someone is listening, is curious about Jesus but hesitant about Christians, what would you want them to know?
I mean, I'm going to be honest. Like, Christians are messy, and Christians have given Christianity a bad name, just like bad cops give cops a bad name. And, you know, certain races give the whole race a bad name. Certain, you know, it's everything, everybody. It is a human problem, and we're all humans. So I assure you that Christians are sinners. Like, I've yet to meet anybody that's perfect. And that was the whole point of what Jesus did for us. And that's the whole point of what he can mean to you, is that no matter what you have done, and I've hurt people, and you know, you're talking about regrets. You know, I don't regret a lot of things in my life, but I do regret the things I've done that hurt people, even when it wasn't my intention. You know, the
Right.
times that I've gone through life where I didn't see I was bleeding on my kids. I didn't see that, you know, I was self-destructing everywhere and it hurt the people around me. Like you know, I do regret those things, but what's really great is that every single day that God blesses me with another day and I open my eyes, I'm like, cool, I have a clean slate. How can I be better today? Like you take all of that and you learn from that because he paid the price for you. He paid the price for that. He literally died for us to be here. And if you're going to look for like a perfect church or a perfect Christian, you're never going to find it.
Right.
You're never going to find it. Be the Christian you want to see out there.
That's one of the biggest concerns or challenges for Christians is that they have to be, or they assume they have to be a role model, but they're still sinners and they're still going to make mistakes. And then when people see them do something wrong or say a cuss word, whatever, and whatever the, I mean, this is a big thing. Well, look at that. They, you know, he or she calls themselves a Christian, but he just said the F word, or he just did this, or just did that. It's like you missed everything here.
Yeah.
And you know, I just before we came on, and just so whenever this comes out, this is 2 days, 3 days after the Super Bowl, okay? And just to put this into context, and there was two halftime shows basically. There was the Super Bowl one with Bad Bunny, and then there was Kid Rock and the TP USA.
Yeah.
And I went out and blew up fireworks, so I didn't have to watch either one of them. My family watched it, you know, most it, through the window, and then they turned the TP USA one. And I just read a guy that I follow, and I've watched most of the TP USA with Kid Rock, and I read an opinion piece from a fairly well-known Christian guy, and he said that was despicable because Kid Rock opened up with this song that he had written like 30 years ago, and it was raunchy. I mean, it was ugly, admittedly ugly. And then he did this cello and the violin thing, and then he came back out, and they introduced him as Robert Ritchie. Okay. Now there's symbolism here all over the place, and this is just lost on people. And then he played a song about Jesus. And the whole point of this, that I the way I interpret it and understand it, is that this was him transforming from the sinner to the forgiven.
Yeah.
And missing the whole point of that cello thing, and then coming out as Robert Ritchie and not Kid Rock anymore. And I know he's still going to go by Kid Rock. That's not the point.
Yeah.
But he judged him by this thing he did 30 years ago. You know, what did I do 30 years ago? I don't want to talk about it. You know, I probably did some nasty things, and I've been a lifelong Christian, literally, since I was baptized, right? 69 years. And people say to me, are you born again? And I kind of look at them, and I put a lot of thought into this. I'm not born again because I was never unborn.
Right.
I'm not, it's not an ego thing. This is not saying again that I'm the perfect Christian. The fact is that I never left my belief that Jesus Christ was my Lord and Savior, right? And you know, John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we can pick each other apart
Yeah.
just so nastily, just like this particular commentator did,
Yeah.
not realizing that. I mean, I watched an interview with him like 4 days before, and I don't know if you know Benny Johnson. Are you familiar with him?
Yes.
He's you know he was in Nashville, and he was doing some he did a bunch of reels with Kid Rock in his bar, and Kid Rock was standing there, and I just laughed out loud. He said, yeah, we're going to talk about Jesus. And he looks at Benny, and then he, you know, he does the can't the kind of like he goes back to the camera, and he said, yeah, you just heard that right. Kid Rock is going to talk about Jesus because nobody believes this. And it's like we all have done bad things, and we are going to continue to do them. We just have to find forgiveness and grace. And they're not cutting him any grace at all.
No.
It irritates me.
No, I've heard of that. You know, I heard that that had happened. And I mean, it's crazy the level of judgment that people just don't understand. The level of which we judge people will be the lens that we're judged through.
Yes.
So if anybody in the world is expecting a cookie cutter Christian version out of me, that's not who God created. So you take that up with him. You know what I mean? When you get there, you can be like, wow, she was super abrasive and she says shit. I say the F word. My podcast is literally Listen Bitch podcast, okay? I have big feelings, I have big emotions. And what happens is you guys twist the Bible. He doesn't care that I'm saying shit. He cares that I'm speaking life. And when I'm using my platform, it is to speak life into you. Most of you are walking around speaking death every single day because you're like, I feel terrible. I hate my life. My husband's awful. My kids are so annoying. That is the shit that's going to get you crucified. You know what I mean? Like, that's the stuff that you're going to be in trouble for. Holding someone up to a level of accountability. Maybe they're not your type of Christian. Then go find someone you could talk to Jesus about that's going to make you feel comfortable. But Christianity isn't meant to be comfortable. Come as you are and then change. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. Every single day I wake up and think, how can I be a better Christian for him? How can I, you know, step into my potential and represent him in a way that honors him? And God is not going to be asking you about Kid Rock's sins, you guys. He's going to be like, you know, Steve, remember Brandon was on your show and she said shit. You know, he's not going to be asking you about my sin. If at the end of the day that's an issue, then I will take that up with God because he knows who he made me to be and I have big feelings and I use big words. And you know, I get called an abomination all the time. That is people's favorite word for me. Tattooed, she cusses. No, I'm just real. I'm not the cookie cutter version that's going to pretend that an ironed dress and a plaid skirt and hair neatly pinned and soft spoken means I'm not a sinner. I see through all of that bullshit and putting on the facade, that's what turns people away from Christianity. If you think you have to be some level of perfection, who wants to sit with that? No, thank you. Like, give me someone that is human, that's relatable, that messed up. And is honest about it. And never once have I ever hid my mess or my struggle. It is out there. Like my mess is out there for the whole world to see. And I'm never going to pretend that life is easy. I cannot respect all of this Instagram perfection or this level of ridiculousness people put on everything. You're not getting that from me. That's it. First of all, okay, I'm a mom of six and I homeschool and I do podcasts and I'm a writer and I'm a coach and I run a business. I do all of this. I don't have the energy to be someone I'm not. There is no way I can contain and try to reserve myself when I am just, God made my heart big. He made my feelings big. I love really super hard and I talk boldly. And I do that because I have that confidence of knowing he's backing me up. And it, you know, this, I'm just gonna say it, like the contrast in not even politics, okay? I don't have to even say which way. I mean, there's a lot of things out there like libertarian, Republican. Who cares about that? My problem is the liberals because you cannot read the Bible in context, submit to its authority, and honestly say that left-wing ideology is ever going to relate to Christianity. We are
Correct.
meant to call out evil. And so we're called to be doing that without a level of judgment. So there is no judgment, but I guarantee I will spend all day calling out the evil. You
Yes.
know, you mess with our kids, you're evil. You transform, you mutilate your body, you're evil. You know, there's two genders. Like, there's so many things that I really, really stand strong on, and biblically it's backed up. But there is this whole, especially on the media and social media, where they cherry pick verses, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's
Like,
brutal.
yeah, one of my favorite ones is that people like to tell me is they love to quote love your neighbor, but like while they say that, they're rejecting God's definition of sin, they're rejecting God's design for family, they're rejecting God's authority over life and death, and they're literally laughing in the order of creation in God's creation. It's awful. You don't get to use Jesus' compassion while rejecting his commands. So you know, a lot of arguments come from liberals who say they're Christians and make sure to call me out that I am not.
Don Lemon is a classic. He
Oh.
just he went he goes and he barges into the church, and then he comes out and he says, "Well, I'm a Christian." Okay, Christians don't do that. Okay,
No.
they don't go in to interrupt church services and get in their faces, right? Whatever. I mean,
Right.
but I want to just stop for 1 second and go back to one thing you said, because I'm going to use it,
Yeah.
okay? And two, I want to make sure that I heard what you said correctly, because it could be one of the most profound moments today. You said to, and I quote, tell me if I'm right. You should judge people in the same lens that you want to be judged. Is that
Exactly.
close? Is that close, or is that kind of spot on?
That's it.
Right. There's a double standard there, right? And that's where our problem is that there's always a double standard.
Yeah.
So this was in your introduction, but this is very important to me to hit this one. And that is, why are modern Christians soft and complacent?
Because you guys
Okay,
can't what?
you can take your time on this,
Yeah.
really.
It is. Oh, this is can be a snowball of things, but really what it comes down to is that you guys care more about what the world thinks. You care more about fitting in. You care more about being comfortable than you do about speaking the truth. And that's what has happened. We went from a level of acceptance to disobedience, right? Because this is what happens. If you really love your neighbor and your neighbor comes in to your church and your neighbor is a man dressing as a woman, you're going to welcome your neighbor and you're going to say, "Hey, I just want to be honest. God did not make a mistake with you. Let's get you the help that you need to help you appreciate and understand who you were born to be." But if you continue to let your neighbor come in there because you don't want to ruffle feathers, you don't want to hurt his feelings, that is not love. Since when is like lying to each other love? And when we support these delusions, when we support people's obvious struggle with mental health, we are not expressing love. You're keeping yourself comfortable. So I don't understand why you guys are so caught up in what the world thinks. We are called to not be of the world. You do not want the world's approval. And every single day, maybe you need to put a big sticky note. I don't need the world's approval. I'm just going to speak the truth today. And then you do that. Christians are soft because they're giving up on themselves, giving up on their potential. And it's going to cost them. Silence is
Yes.
complicity. It is going to cost you at the end for not speaking the truth and for not defending
Right.
the word of God and you know for just selling out. You're selling out so you could be comfortable. And I don't know about you guys, but like I think about that day. I think about that day that I meet him and we have to talk about like my potential, and did I step into that, into the agreement we had for me to come down here with this human experience? And I'm gonna have to look at God and be like, "Oh, sorry, Netflix just seemed better. I didn't want to make people upset. I didn't want to hurt anyone's feelings." You guys know, if you know, I've read the Bible. Christianity is not soft. They got angry.
Right.
They were bold. They were abrasive. They were pissed off. Pissed off. In Hebrew, I mean, their words are pretty racy too. Okay. They had a
Yeah.
different language
Right.
for that because they're passionate about that. You don't get to be soft and do this. You are coming into a world of evil. We're in Satan's playground right now. You can't afford to be soft because guess what? Like, this is what happens. The days that I don't want to speak out are the days I'm going to have to answer for. Every day that you're not boldly speaking about Jesus, and I don't care who doesn't listen to me, because there's probably one person. God did everything in my life. He orchestrated this whole creation of me so that I can save someone like you, so that I can tell you about Jesus, and it plants a seed in your head, and you're like, "Man, she's pretty wild, but there is no way that this face does not like represent that love and that boldness that he has given me." I know
Right.
that there is, he is with me. When I speak, whether people are going to accept it or not, I can change someone's life and I can bring them to Christ. That's what I'm going to be answering for. Not whether or
Yes.
not I hurt 100 people's feelings. I don't care about your feelings. Don't care
Right.
about your feelings. That we were not called to coddle the world.
Right.
Never once, was anybody coddled. You know what our Savior did? He came down here knowing what his future was, knowing what was going to happen, knowing sitting and breaking bread with people that were going to break his heart. He knew all of this. What would you do if you knew that? If you knew you were going to sit down to dinner with people that are going to stab you in your back, you think you're going to be kind? You think you're going to wash their feet? You think you're going to not be able to just bite your tongue and know that your time is coming, and then to know the torture that you're going to go through, the abuse you're going to get, you're strung up like an animal on a cross to bleed out. He knew this and he came here for us. I don't know a lot of things in life, but I know what love is, and that's it. And nothing is ever going to reach or surpass that. That is the ultimate love, and it was a gift. It was a gift for you. It was a gift for me. It was a gift for everyone. If we can't come into that boldly and call out this thing, I mean, Christianity is under attack. That's the media. The media has put a complete attack on Christians. So this is the time where you do have to speak boldly. Like, this is it. This is, you've been called and you have that same potential. And if you want the boldness, if you're like, Brandon, I just don't get it. You're so bold, you don't care. Well, read the Bible. Like, that's all my power.
That is the end. Yes. So I just want to share something quickly. I met a guy last month, and he came into I was in a Toastmasters group, and he came in first time he'd been there, and he's bald and he's got these holes in his head. And when you do the introduction, he his introduction was, "Hi, I'm Todd. Last year I fell off 15 feet off a banister and I landed on my head. And when they took me to the hospital, I was dead for 2.5 minutes and I met Jesus. And we chatted." And I mean, he just says this is a witness, like it's unbelievable, right? I mean, you don't hear people any because he was not ashamed of this. And he said, as we talked, he looked at me and he said, "You're going back because I'm not done with you." And now, and he was an extremely successful CEO of billion-dollar companies, and now he works at Menards. Okay, and I managed to talk to him later on because I wanted to hear about this, and I'm not done with him yet. Okay, just so you know, I need to go back. I need to hear this story. I mean, I need to hear every second that he was with Jesus. I mean, I know there's other people that have done this, but to have somebody come in and be able to witness like that, and basically just profess their faith, that's bold. Not really knowing anybody in the room, right? And that goes right to what you're saying, is that boldness. And that's why I'm here. That's why I'm here with you, because I knew I was going to get the truth and I was going to get boldness. And it's not your truth, it's the truth, because we're looking for objective truth. And you and I both believe that the Bible is objective truth, okay? Because it's been proven. You all the people, and I read a post from a friend of mine in Canada, and she literally commented in this post about religion that there was no historian that ever wrote down that Jesus was real. And I'm thinking to myself, you've got your head buried in the sand so far, woman, that I'm not the one to judge her, but when you make a statement like that, she obviously hasn't looked, because it's out there. It's not just in the Bible. I mean, there, and I've done some research on this. There's multiple historians that talk about Jesus that also talk about the resurrection. And they weren't Christians. They were just historians and scribes. And so, you choose your ignorance and you choose what to believe. That's that cognitive dissonance thing. Okay. When something comes against your beliefs, you and I have talked about caffeine, right? It's huge, the cognitive dissonance, but it's all of those self-sabotage techniques, whether it's porn, whether it's cigarettes, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, prescription drugs, whatever the case may be, you choose to ignore the facts. And the Bible, I believe, is a fact. And I also believe just exactly what you believe, that it is the Word of God. And I have not read the Bible as much as I, in the last several years, I've read more of the Bible than I did in my first 65.
Yeah.
And again, I was a Christian. I didn't realize how important it was to actually read it. And you know, it's very apparent from listening to you that it stuck. Okay. What you read stuck, which is I'm commending you for that because it's outstanding. So I've got another one, and again, this is another one that it's how people view us as Christians. How do you respond when someone says Christianity has caused more harm than good?
I mean, I can agree that religion has caused more harm, but loving Jesus has not. And so people have to separate the two of those.
Yep.
Humans cause problems. It's not Jesus. That is the problem. He is not causing the separation. It's us being separated from him that caused the problems. And yeah, wars. Are you kidding me? Religions thrive off of that. You know, that's where did war start? You know, it's religion is a very dividing thing. And when I say I'm a Christian, I'm not talking about religion. I'm saying, like, I don't need a box or a label. I know that that man came here and died for me, and I accept him as the only avenue to get back to my father. I know that.
That was a very well said.
Yeah.
And because that opens up such a Pandora's box of questions and answers, because they twist everything around, right?
Always.
Everything gets twisted, you know, because they always go back to the, well, if you're a Christian, why did you do this? You know, and I already brought this up, so I understand that. But it's such an inherent flaw in their argument when we are the first to admit that we're sinners and we're not perfect. You know, Bill Maher is big on this, you know, and I don't watch his show, but I see clips of his stuff. You know, and he's a radical, well, he was a radical lefty. Now he's actually, compared to the lefties, he's almost conservative. Okay. Now, granted, he doesn't like Jesus. Okay. He doesn't, you know, and he had an interview with Charlie Kirk, and it was really good because, you know, Charlie was not afraid of Bill Maher.
No.
And so he just confronted him. And, you know, it always comes down to, and I've done some work on apologetics and apologists. And there's a guy that I follow. His name's J. Warner Wallace, and he wrote just a small book like this on what do you say to people when they question you about Christianity? And the whole book was simply questions to ask back to them.
Yeah.
And I did this with my neighbor, who is a socialist from Canada. Even though he's lived here for 40 years, he says everything in Canada is the best thing. And I asked him once, "Why do you live here?" Well, I came here and I just didn't go back. So I gave him a Bible once, and he gave it back to me. He said, "I'm not going to read it." He was raised a Roman Catholic for 18 years. He said, "I'm not going to read this." So we had lunch, and I approached this subject because I didn't want to give up on him. I like him,
Yeah.
and I'd like to see him sa saved. And I asked him just a simple question of, you know, where did we come from? Well, I don't really know.
Yeah.
And I said, so you think that we came from Darwin, that we came from a single cell or from a big bang? Well,
Right.
I don't know. And so did we come from reptiles that crawled out of the ocean and then eventually evolved into monkeys, which eventually evolved? Well, I don't know. I said, well, what do you know? And he had no answers.
Right.
And you know, the way to confront this criticism is not to argue, because we can't win any argument because they, right?
Yep.
But we can basically embarrass them
Yeah.
by asking questions that we know they don't have the answer for.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I agree to that. I'm interested in that book because I would love to know some of those questions. So I'm gonna check that out for sure. But I think, you know, there's a point where I can tell a conversation isn't gonna go anywhere. And the minute that someone is like, well, aren't you supposed to be a Christian? I check out. Like,
Yep.
there's no point in entertaining that. Like, yeah, of course, you're right. Whatever you think is right. But what I do say to people is that whether you believe it or not, God is real. And he did the same thing for you that he's done for me. And that's kind of end of the line. And even when I first started reading the Bible, and it's always again with the knowing, like God has been with me my whole life, and there was a knowing of that. We just didn't have that heart connection, right? Even
Right.
before that, when I would get defensive about what it was to be a Christian, like, what does it hurt you for me to believe in something bigger than myself? Like, why does it bother you so much? I mean, what has society proven right now that all the elites, everyone running our country, all of these evil people, all of these politicians, all of these, big pharma, media techs, they know God exists, and they have done everything they can to crush him out of the hearts of people. It has been a very strategic thing because what was the truth? We knew this battle was coming. There is spiritual warfare all around us. We knew this was coming. And so our job now is to tell as many people, and it's not our job to decide what they do with the information. It's not my job for people, my job is to share the information. I can't make it personal. I love a lot of people. I want to be saved. I can't force it.
Right.
I can't force it. Your job is just to represent and talk. Be bold and speak the truth. Call out the evil. And calling out evil obviously doesn't mean you hate people. It just means that you're not going to lie to them anymore. That's it. And so many people are afraid. Like, you're afraid of getting labeled. You're afraid of getting canceled. You're afraid of being misunderstood. You guys, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And what he says the most in the Bible is, do not be afraid. Fear not, do not be afraid. Fear not, do not be afraid. So the only thing I'm worried about is guaranteeing my name is in that book. Outside of that, not my business, not my problem.
So, has following Jesus ever cost you something, relationship, comfort, reputation, anything like that?
I mean, yeah, I get called an abomination. I know that, every time I. Do I sound okay to you? Because I'm hearing an echo
Yes.
now. Okay.
No, I'm doing good. Yep, you're doing good.
Every single day I wake up, I know what's possible. I know that I'm being judged from a human level every single day. So is that uncomfortable? Yeah. I mean, it's not the greatest, you guys. It may seem like it doesn't affect me, but I'm not a fan of reading hate messages, because I
Right.
genuinely have an incredible love for God and incredible love for people, and I just am that person. Like, I would do anything for people,
Right.
but yeah, it's not the funnest thing to be misunderstood and judged, and it's made me question myself at times, and none of that is fun. But then I just go back to the truth of, like, I don't need to be comfortable here. I just need to know that when I look in the mirror before I go to bed tonight, that I like that reflection, that I like that reflection, and that God likes that reflection, and that I did something to honor him, that I made it a choice to see the beauty in life, and that I knew for this day that it's never been about what's happening to me. I'm a victim. It's about getting that chance to say, I am here and I take massive responsibility. What I do today to ensure that tomorrow is a good day. How am I setting myself up for a week from now? And how am I honoring him? That is it. And in return, I mean, you guys, I wake up every morning and I do the reading before I get on my phone, and I talk to God, and I'm like, okay, this is what I can't handle today. Do you know what it means for me? People are always like, how do you do all the things? How do you homeschool? You juggle this, you juggle that, you do all these things. Yes, how do I do all of that? Because when I wake up in the mornings, like, I just hand God everything I can't handle because he says I don't have to carry all of that. So I don't have to carry, other people's feelings or emotions. It is not my responsibility to make anyone happy. I'm not here to keep you comfortable. I want to make you uncomfortable. I want to make you question if you're doing enough to get into your potential. I want to light a fire under your ass so you could tell people how good God is. Because he is. And so, yeah,
Yes.
it's cost me, and I don't care. Because if I did care, it would cost me ultimately my life, my salvation.
Yes. Correct. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
It's all that matters.
It's all that matters. And that is lost on our society.
Very.
And on most Christians as well. I had an experience a couple weeks ago from a guy in my men's group, who is a leader in our church. Okay, he is. And he has, he's 73-year-old attorney, still practicing, and if you listen to him long enough, he walks on water. Okay, if you know what I mean. And I met an acquaintance of his, and I said, "So you know so and so?" And his wife actually had worked for this couple. And Brenda and I just got to know them. Brenda, my wife, and just got to know them. And she has brain glioblastoma. It came back, and told me that we met them, and for 5 to 7 minutes, all he did was tell me all the bad things about them. He never said one good thing about them in that whole 5 to 7 minutes. And I came home, and I said to Brenda, "I need to address this. I can't let this go because I'm a, well, I'm, I've really." A lot better. Back in, 10 or 20 years ago, I would have just jumped on him. Okay, now I'm taking that. I'm counting to 10. In this case, I counted to like 3,000 because I walked away. And she said, "Well, sleep on it, And I have prayed about it almost every day, sometimes for a whole day, and came to the conclusion that I couldn't change him. Okay, and I was going to go talk to my pastor to see what he thought, and Brenda said, "All you're going to do is cause rifts, ripples, because the pastor really likes this guy." And I didn't like him when I first met him 2 years ago, and I've grown to like him, and I've grown to respect him, and now I have no respect for him because we're judging each other, and we're not supposed to, but we do, right? And here he is in church. We were in church, and he's telling me this, and he doesn't say what, and these are good people. And then he started ripping on their kids.
Oh boy.
I mean, he just didn't stop. Obviously, he's got, and it turns out that she was an attorney, and she was probably making $100 to $150 an hour more. And his wife had to do the books for her, and he's jealous.
Jealous.
And talk about wow. How jealousy can take over your heart. I mean, and I live in a nice house, which I don't own, and I don't need any more than this. I'm extremely happy. Have a wonderful wife, I have a wonderful family, and I have a God that loves me and takes care of me. My wife should not be alive today. Okay. 13 years ago, she was almost dead when she got Lyme. The doctors didn't help her. My daughter came in and said, "This is what's going on," and she still struggles. However, and I told these guys one day, I said, "You know that when I wake up in the morning, I thank God that I got through the night. And then when Brenda texts me that she's up, I thank God that he got her through the night because she could die. Just like we all, but I mean, she's got the physical things going on. She could die anytime. I appreciate the fact that he looks out for us every day. And that's gratitude. And if we have, you realize, and I just did a presentation to a men's group yesterday, self-sabotage from Christian worldview. Okay. And I'd never done that with that. And I used the armor of God as my foundation, which is very strong, and I have an armor of God thing. I've got one in my pocket. I've got one on my wrist, because every day I remember that God is with me and he is protecting me. And I talk about this stuff, and it's like sometimes they look at me like, where are you getting this from? I said, I have to be thankful for what I have. So I've got one last question before we wrap this up, and that is, how is your faith? And this is a directly self-sabotage question, and you and I haven't really talked about self-sabotage, and I have quite a history here with this, but this is, how does your faith in Jesus shape your ability to handle self-sabotage? And I'll define self-sabotage for the audience, okay? And self-sabotage is undermining your own values and goals and morals. And we all do it because it's sin.
So I would say I was the sabotage queen until about 6 months ago. And I took this incredible intention because I'm going through a lot with my kids. My kids are, older. They moved out this last year, after being a mom for 23 years, and my oldest moves out and everything just looks different. I was struggling with a lot of things. My son is going to be going to the Marines in like 12 weeks and just felt like the world was kind of closing in on me, redefining myself. And when that happens to me, I tear everything down. And I realized at this point, I'm not honoring God if I'm not working on things like calibrating my nervous system, if I'm not working on things like neuroplasticity, okay? Neuroplasticity, in case you guys don't know, like our brain is just wired in these set paths because of like our past history, influence, experience. And so things kind of get ingrained, and that includes bad habit, that includes sin, that includes, all of these things. And I've worked on that for a very long time, but never from the biblically big perspective of, I've always been intentional. Like, you guys, I'm a grateful person. I'm a happy ass person. I wake up every day and I'm like, yeah, what's going on? Even in the worst of times, it's just kind of how I'm wired. But I was at the point where I was taking on everyone else's emotions. I was trying to control a bunch of situations. And I just knew that something has to change. Like, I'm killing myself. I am poisoning my body with cortisol. My fight or flight has been engaged for like 10 years straight. And if I don't change this, I'm going to die. I am not going to be someone who can boldly speak about Christ because I'm not taking care of myself, and that's it. It flipped the script. And you guys, I'm telling everybody, like the past few weeks, I have never felt better in my life than I have. And I always have felt pretty good. But like I nixed that self-sabotage. And not just the self-sabotage, I am someone who carried that trauma of my mom's rejection. And so I push people away first all the time. I sabotage relationships. I don't have close friends. I have my kids and my husband. Like, I don't build those relationships. I have been so hyper independent because I was never going to give anybody the power to hurt me that when my kids moved out, I took that on as rejection. So I pushed them away. Right. And I still catch myself trying to do that. Like, with my son, he's still home. And I find myself with that temptation of like, if I push him away, it's not going to hurt so much. And, now I have such a conscious awareness where I'm like, whoa, it's doesn't even sound cool anymore. Like, I'm going to love the crap out of that kid until he ships out. And then I'm going to love him more while he's gone. Right. So, I am telling you, without Christ, I was off the rails. Not good. I'm talking obsessive alcohol consumption, just trying to find every quick trick hack in the book for my business, just looking for all the wrong things and trying to self medicate and all of these things. I don't need anything anymore. I need nothing. I need some water. I drink a lot of water now, but I don't need anything. I can handle all of this. Like, my emotional maturity is at such a level that it just plays into that foundation of I can be bold for Christ because I took care of myself. I can handle what's coming with my kids because I took care of myself. And so self-sabotage and I broke up, and it's for good. I'm done with that. I did it with food. I did it with sugar. I've done it with so many things, just the self-destructive things. And what's the truth? If I'm anti-pharma, I'm anti all of these things. Well, if I don't want to be stuck in the system, then I better damn well take responsibility for how I treat my body. So,
Right.
eat the protein, we drink the water, I'm at the gym, I go for walks outside. Like all of those important things, I'm taking massive responsibility for all of that. So it's, yeah, it's all God, you know, it's the
Yeah, you did a great job on the self-sabotage section, and I know I am sure you know more than I know you know, but I know a lot. And you talked about the cortisol, and you talked about and you know, and that's directly related to caffeine. You know, caffeine stimulates cortisol, and every time you drink it, and ultimately it messes with your sleep, it messes with your stomach, gives you cortisol belly, all kinds of bad things. Nobody understands how they're self-sabotaging themselves. And I was in front of 40 guys yesterday, and I was telling them this. And you know, the first thing I said in the presentation is, "This is not about shaming. This is about giving you an idea of things you don't know anything about. Okay, that they're not mainstream because they're all hidden. Because let's face it, all these things that we talked about that you're against and I'm against, they promote this."
Always.
Okay, society promotes this. And we're in a battle. You know, I did a podcast last year and I told the guy that I used the analogy of a salmon swimming upstream. That was my, I'm talking about caffeine. And he stopped me, which rarely happens. He stopped me mid-sentence and he said, and he chuckled and he said, "No, Steve, you're like a salmon swimming against a tsunami." Because the cognitive dissonance on caffeine and coffee is so huge because it's legal, it's socially accepted, it's socially promoted. Okay. But so are so many other things. You know, porn, you know, I mean, there's surveys that say that 50% of pastors watch porn regularly. Well, my question is, who in the world, what pastor would reply that to a survey? I don't, this is beyond me. Okay. But I don't think they're making it up, but the whole porn in general, let's face it, it's a $1 billion business. And it's so easy now with the internet, and it's so easy to go addicted. And they don't understand that how they're self-sabotaging their entire life, their
Always.
relationship with their wife, their relationship with Jesus, their physical well-being, their mental well-being. You know, it's like video games and screens with kids now. You know, and there's been studies done that actually say that their libidos, teenage boys' libidos, are going to crap because their dopamine hits are so high from the games that they don't want to even talk to a girl, much less have sex with her.
It's been intentional.
Because no population then, right? You know, and we again that's a big one right there. So to wrap it up, what would be your best piece of advice for someone who has listened to this hour, and then I will give my 2 cents worth at the end. Okay, you go first.
I would say my 2 cents is right now, wherever you are, take massive responsibility for where you are without putting blame on anyone else, and then get the Bible, and you and God get to create where you go next. That's it.
Well, I can almost say exactly the same thing because my takeaway is read the Bible, and then pray. Because, you know, my prayer life in the last years has gone from minimal, and I did pray every day. Okay. Now I pray sometimes all day. And what happens is that I create this personal relationship with God. I have never consciously heard from God. You know, some people have. Like this guy that fell off the banister. Okay. But I do believe that he has answered many of my prayers. Okay. For one thing, my wife is alive and functional. Okay. Wow. I mean, this is a miracle as far as I'm concerned. Okay. I mean, literally a miracle. When she was sickest, she was 89 pounds from 115. You know, and I mean, she looked anorexic. She looked like the kids in Africa that are starving to death. And she was embarrassed to go outside because she looked so bad. And so it is simply that if you get into the word and I found it very interesting what you said about, you know, the first year you read the Bible, you were reading the words. And the second year, it started to sink in. And that's the message that I hope everyone takes away from this conversation, is that just because you open the Bible doesn't mean God's going to just reveal himself to you, okay? But as time goes on, he's going to open your heart. So how can people reach you? And I'll have stuff in the show notes, but about your podcast and stuff, but what's the best way?
BrandonLynette.com. You guys can sign up for newsletters, love letters. Once a month, I do send out a Bible reading schedule for the month. So you guys can follow along exactly where I'm at. It's the schedule that got me started. I'm obsessed with it. I know there's a whole Bible in a year. That one put me to sleep. Mine is kind of it takes you to three different places of the Bible like every single day. So I share that schedule. You can email me privately when you sign up for those and ask for the schedule. I'm happy to send it to you. I also have Bible Study for a Badass on Facebook, where I just kind of post that schedule up in there for anybody that wants to see it. But yeah, BrandonLynette.com, you guys can find my podcast, you can find my books, and if you want to message me and you want to have a conversation, I would absolutely love that. You message me on Facebook if you want to go that route. I'm pretty active on there, so that's it. Thank you
All
so
right.
much for having me on this show. Like you're just a delight, and I'm glad we're friends, and I'm glad that you're doing this show and that you're letting God work through you to bring the truth to people. I God bless this journey and this podcast and your work and your family, and I'm just grateful that we crossed paths.
Thank you. Yes, and I believe, as you do, that we're gonna see each other regularly, in the years. For years, because we have a lot to talk about and we have a lot to share with other people that aren't aware, of some of this stuff. And this is not about converting anybody, it's about planting seeds. And because we can't make anybody do anything, and I think I said this before and I'm going to say it again, we all have free will and free won't. We can't make anybody do anything. You actually referred to that, about a half an hour ago. You can only guide them and influence them, but you can't make them do anything. So if you're watching, be sure to subscribe and share this with a friend that maybe wants to know about Jesus and like it. And the more people that see this, the more people we have an opportunity to bring the truth about Jesus and other things. And as the topic says right there, can you handle the truth? Well, the truth is that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And I'm hoping that you can all handle that truth, because as Brandon and I have said a number of times, this is what we believe. So thank you so much for being here, and I will see you again soon.
Thank you.
Okay? All right.
Bye.
Bye.